The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We explore strange tales reported on by Odyssey's radio newsrooms from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. This week, we're looking into animals that secretly glow in the dark, and a bowling prodigy who's smashing records and wowing veteran players at alleys across the country. First up, did you know that some squirrels glow in the dark? Yes, squirrels. Though the ones we're talking about are also flying squirrels, so they're kind of special. The Michigan Department of Natural Resources recently revealed their glow-in-the-dark secret in a post on Facebook. After that, Cody Norton of the Michigan DNR joined Amanda Forrester of Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit to explain what's going on with these glowy, fuzzy, flying little animals.
In the post that kind of kicked this interest off by the Michigan DNR, one of the facts that was included is that they glow in the dark. So how does that work?
Sure. So they do glow to each other and to other species that can see ultraviolet light. So when humans are out in the woods and a flying squirrel, you know, flies by, we can't see that unless they are illuminated with like an artificial UV light. And so that's actually exactly what happened in 2019, I believe. Some researchers from Northland College in the northern part of Wisconsin were out surveying lichens, which are one of their food sources. And they were using UV lights, ultraviolet lights, in order to actually look for like different species of lichens, because they will also kind of fluoresce under UV light. And they had a flying squirrel glide by overhead and noticed that its belly basically like glowed bubblegum pink as it flew over. And so that, I mean, this was not known until, you know, what, seven or so years ago. So pretty amazing, pretty, you know, not well studied. But there's a couple different
lemonade, fresh squeeze lemonade. Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Basically, it's only their belly that does this, so their back does not emit UV light, or, you know, is not visible in that way. We don't really know why or what the function is. There's a couple of theories, basically that they might be communicating with other flying squirrels. So both of these species do nest in colonies. Northern's like up to 8 individuals, Southern's might be more like 20. And then sometimes you're on the higher end of that number, like during winter time when they actually like huddle together in their nests and stay warm throughout the winter. But a lot of those nests are like hollows in trees. So there's just a small opening on a tree trunk. So the thought is maybe, you know, basically an individual being inside of there would help glow and light their way to get back. But one of the kind of goofy things or concerning things is that like owls, which are a big predator of flying squirrels, can also see UV light. So that could be why only their stomachs fluoresce. So when they are pressed up against a tree or on the ground, you know, that light won't be visible or nearly as visible. But then when they take flight or are in the, you know, in a hole scurrying around, you might be able to see that light more if you're, you know, another squirrel.
Now we're headed to Missouri. That's where 14-year-old bowling whiz Avery Bourne is from. She's won 2 national championships already this year, and she's ready to knock down even more pins. Avery and her dad, who also happens to be her coach, and her little sister joined the Dana and Parks show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City to discuss her bowling success and some things you might not know about competitive bowling.
Avery, sweetheart, what year were you? How old when you started bowling?
I was 4 years old.
And what did you like about it? Because at age four, you know, most kids are gluing macaroni on pages in like preschool. What was it about bowling that you loved at age four?
I didn't really know much. Like, I just got put in leagues because my grandpa and my grandma own a bowling alley in Excelsior Springs. And so they just wanted me to try it out, and I ended up liking it. But I would always get angry because I was in the bumper league for a little bit when I was four, and I would throw it straight down the middle and not get as many pins as the other kids who would be bouncing it off the
bumper. We're 55, and we're still in the bumper league.
Clint, Dad, when did you know this was something? Like, when did you know, what age were you were like, she's really good?
About the age of 10 is when we realized that she was picking up things that some of the other kids in leagues were just not understanding. Picking your game up quite a bit.
But Dad, to the novices in the room, and that's me and Dana, when you say she was picking up things that other kids her age, sure. What do you mean by that?
So, like, counting boards, like the board you stand on when you start, you know, counting the boards on the lane, hitting marks on the lane, like what dot and what the arrows mean. And, you know, in billiards, kind of like the same thing with the dots on the side of the rails. You know, it's bowling's the same. It's geometry and, you know, finding that right angle and the right ball and just her hand placement behind the ball. She has a natural ability, and her grandfather's teaching has just really brought out the best in what she has.
And real quick, just for our other listeners, you said girls bowling, especially with college scholarships, has just exploded. She's already getting attention from some big name colleges.
Sure. Yeah. She's got quite the following on social media. You know, obviously Division I colleges can't talk to her yet. You have to be a junior in high school before D1 can start talking to you, but the interest is there. And scholarships in women's bowling is huge. One, because there's just not as many girls as there are on the boys' side. You know, with boys, there was over 1,000 boys in the U18 division, you know, at Junior Gold, and there was 179 U14 girls.
Wow.
So now that jumps up. There was like 300 in U16 and U18, but, you know, at this age, most girls haven't really started to develop that skill set yet.
Yeah. Avery, tell us about your perfect 300. You are the youngest person in the history of the state of Missouri to bowl a perfect game.
I think that's pretty cool. And the bowling alley that I threw it at, my papa actually used to work there too before he bought the one now.
Were you in a competition when it happened, or were you just bowling?
Yeah, it was a tournament. It was a family tournament. So, like, I think I was bowling with my dad.
And you're used to throwing strikes, but just not that many, maybe in a row, one after another after another. Did you start getting nervous, like, toward the ninth frame?
Yeah, what was going through your mind as you go to those late frames?
I know that when I start getting on, like, a streak like that, I get, like, fast with my feet, and then, like, my timing gets messed up and everything. So I was just telling myself to, like, stay slow and, like, not mess up.
But with the last ball that you were throwing, I mean, was there a crowd gathered around?
Yeah.
You were shaking.
I was.
And what was your reaction when all of them fell?
I was just like, oh my God.
Just pure joy and giddiness.
Were you there, Dad? Were you there?
Oh, I was there. Yeah. It was the Missouri Bowling Proprietors Family Adult Youth Tournament. And it was the zone round. So we already advanced out of the house round, and we were at the zone round to go to state. And she beat me pretty bad.
And Hadley, you're Avery's little sister. What is it like to go and watch her compete?
Well, sometimes I'm like super bored because I'm not all into that stuff.
Kids say the darndest things, don't they?
Yeah, you're a dancer, not a bowler.
Yeah, I'm not really into that stuff. But when it came down to when she was the 300, my dad told me to record. And I had no clue what was going on. So I thought it was just recording for Instagram or TikTok.
Right.
And everyone, like, when all of the pins fell down, everyone started like cheering, and I was like, what is happening?
Avery, what do you hope? And let's start with this. What has bowling given you? What has the sport given you?
It's given me tons of friendships from all over the country. And it's given me opportunities to go to college and hopefully go to college and to start saving money for college.
Because there's cash prizes in some of these, right?
So, yeah, bowling is the only sport where youth can start earning scholarships at the age of 5.
Wow.
So, and the USBC has a dedicated, what they call a smart account. So any funds that you win through leagues or tournaments or whatever, you know, scholarship opportunities, it goes into an account and is held in that account until the bowler is ready to continue their education after high school.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to WWJ News Radio in Detroit, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, WBEN News and Talk in Buffalo, and On the Road with Kelly and Bob out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. You can find all of these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.